Two new books about academia have given book critic and professor Maureen Carrigan bad dreams.
The literary gimmick, when you think about it, is obvious. As obvious as that purloined letter sitting right out in the open in Edgar Allan Poe's story of the same name. Just stitch the academic farce novel, popularized by Kingsley Amis and David Lodge, to the traditional tale of terror, and you'll have a viable new Frankenstein's monster of a genre that walks, talks, and makes readers laugh and tremble. It's an obvious idea because academic farce has always contained elements of horror. The luckless characters in Amis's and Lodge's books, for instance, often brood over images of the fathomless void that they'll be cast out into if they don't get tenure. It's an obvious idea to blend the two kinds of stories, all right, but James Hines had it first, and he stamped it with the mark of his own devilish humor and pitiless insight into all things academic. Hines debuted his demonic literary creation a few years ago in a brilliant short story collection called Publish and Perish. To quote one of my favorite critics, when I reviewed that book, I said, Hines must have struck a pact with the devil when he began writing these tales, because their tone is perfect. I don't know what Hines had left to barter with to produce his new, damnably funny novel, The Lecturer's Tale, but the unholy trade-off was worth it. You certainly don't have to be in academia to enjoy this book. The desperate career predicament of its main character, Nelson Humboldt, should engage any reader who's ever sweated over getting the axe at work. And if you like tales of the supernatural, well, the fearless Hines has trod where even Stephen King has dared not go. Nelson is one of the unclean, a visiting adjunct lecturer at a mythical Tony school called Midwest University. His deliverance from the limbo of his untenurable position arrives in the first chapter of the novel. While walking through campus on Halloween Eve, Nelson trips, and his right index finger is severed by the wheel of a passing bicycle. Emergency room doctors sew it on again as good as, no better than new, because what Nelson discovers is that his burning index finger has the power to bend people to his will. All he has to do is touch someone, and zap, his victim writhes and submits. At first, nice guy Nelson uses his finger for humble purposes, like getting the chair of his department to renew his contract to teach lowly composition courses. But as Nelson grows more powerful, he grows greedier. Soon, the tip of his approaching finger extinguishes or restores other people's very lives. Hines doesn't content himself here with taking cheap shots at familiar targets. The wicked, virtuoso humor of the lecturer's tale derives from Hines' expert knowledge of his creepy subject. He exaggerates to great comic effect, but his portrayal of academe is always just within the range of the plausible. Here's a description of the cagey career climb of a post-colonialist scholar named Lester Antilles. In a discipline where scholarly heft was defined by being more post-colonialist than thou, Lester Antilles was the heftiest of the lot. As a graduate student at an Ivy League school, he had announced to his dissertation committee that doctoral theses at major Western universities were a primary locus of the objectifying colonialist gaze on Native subjects, and he refused on principle to participate. In practice, this meant that for 6 years he refused to take classes, attend seminars, or write a dissertation. As a result of this ideologically engaged non-participation, he was offered tenured positions even before he had his PhD. I could go on. There's the consciously working-class Brit expert on popular culture who churns out books with titles like It's Not Unusual, The Tom Jones Way of Knowledge, and the sinister Central European post-deconstructionist whose intelligence is certified by the fact that no one understands a word he says. Poor Nelson walks through this blasted landscape hoping to mediate between the canon defenders and the theory heads. Only at the very end of Hines' superb supernatural farce do we learn whether or not he'll fall through the cracks. David Damrosch, who's a real-life professor of English and comparative literature at Columbia University, also wants to be a mediator. In his new book, Meetings of the Mind, he recalls attending an academic conference in Tokyo and feeling deep dissatisfaction with the sad parodies of collaborative work that conferences have become. So he asks his three smarter and more egotistical fellow panel participants to continue to meet with him over the next 10 years, to form a free-floating intellectual community and really participate in sustained scholarly dialogue. How moving, I thought to myself as I read and wrote a review of what I called this charming and brainy little hodgepodge of a book. But then that review was killed because I found out that Damrosch's book is not a memoir at all, but rather a coy send-up of the memoir form as well as the academic novel. Well, I was mad. First, because I had been duped and hadn't paid attention to all the clever clues about masquerading that Damrosch scatters throughout his book. Then I was repulsed because the other panel participants, whom self-effacing Damrosch paints as being smarter than himself, turn out to be just alternative personae of David Damrosch. And then I was saddened because I was honestly touched by the dream of collegiality and intellectual engagement that Damrosch dangles in his book. The fact that Meetings of the Mind is a fake speaks to how far-fetched that dream probably is. Maybe I'm guilty here of philosophizing in a self-serving way, but I wonder what it means when the two best recent books about academia turn out to be a wry horror story and a joke.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed The Lecturer's Tale by James Hines and Meetings of the Mind by David Damrosch.